Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Mully and Hall, mornings live at 5 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We are delighted to welcome in Theo Epstein, the Cubs president of baseball operations. Theo, good morning. Thank you for joining us.
Morning, Theo.
Morning, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Well, I guess the big story, well, there's a lot of big stories. It was a very eventful night last night, but let's start with Addison Russell coming back up. I thought it was interesting to hear what you said before the game. And then to hear the response from the crowd, and you talked about him having work to do and having to build trust back. Did that moment surprise you in any way?
No, it didn't surprise me at all, and I thought it was, you know, appropriate and expected. And, you know, I think you have to remember for just about the entire crowd, that was their first chance to, you know, to see Addison and to express their opinion about what happened. So I'm not going to speak for the fans, but I'm sure a certain segment of the fans were booing domestic violence, period, the concept. And that's certainly appropriate. And then and a certain percentage were probably, booing Addison for the behavior, in the past. And a certain segment were booing us for the decision to tender him and give him this conditional second chance, and all that is certainly appropriate. And I would say that if Addison continues on the path that he has just started and puts in the hard work and continues on the long process of self-improvement and reformation and rehabilitation and continues to grow and improve the relationships in his life, including with Melissa. And if many years from now we're looking back and we say that he's truly a changed man and that a lot of good has come from this, you know, I think when we reach that point, I bet you that most of the people booing will think that he deserves a little bit different reception and maybe some recognition for what he's done. But that's not appropriate now. That's not the stage that we're at now. Right. He's still at the beginning of this process. So I didn't think there was anything whatsoever wrong with what happened last night or with how he handled it either.
That's interesting, Theo, because I think every step of the way we have complimented you on the sensitivity you've shown in wanting to rehabilitate this person and not looking at him as just a player. That said, the terms that you're using, work and progress, and I mm-hmm. think they're kind of vague. And I do wonder, how do you measure sincerity? How do you know when the boxes are checked? Because when you talk about, when you hear him say he's making progress, when you say that he's got work to do, yeah. I think that's general. And I think we naturally are going to wonder, how will you know specifically when he's ready and when he has made progress?
Yeah, well, some of that is just the nature of the situation, you know, and confidentiality involved. You can't, you know, this is the league mandated treatment is a completely confidential process, and by definition, and that's appropriate and how it should be. So that, you know, the confidentiality factor is important and immovable, and that's not going to be compromised. So that said, I mean, there are certain things that he's already talked about and that have been public that, you know, there was, you know, the first step was him taking accountability and responsibility for what happened. And he had not in the early days after the suspension was revealed. He was not going to be tendered unless he made a full statement of accountability and responsibility. He did that. Secondly, he needed to fully comply with the league mandated treatment, which is not just showing up and being evaluated by professionals and calling in once a week. It's a full and robust treatment plan with many, many professionals involved. And, and a ton of appointments and the hard work of facing your behavior, facing the patterns of behavior that you were exposed to as a young person, and putting in the hard work of counseling to understand yourself better so that you can then make adjustments and improvements. On top of that, he was strongly encouraged and did on his own, even before he was encouraged, reach out for additional counseling. That was his own. That was and remains several times a week, and to further explore himself and his family situation, and the situation that he finds himself in, and the responsibility that he has to become a better person, a better father, a better partner going forward. And then there were standards of behavior that we required of him inside the organization, how he treated people, how he conducted himself, situations that he could not put himself in because it would just even have the appearance of impropriety, and we wouldn't tolerate that. And then we were also going to judge him by the health of the relationships that he had, including the very important relationships with his children and the mothers of his children. And so, as part of the process, it's been more important for us really to stay connected with Melissa and make sure she's supported as best we can and that her well-being is taken care of. And through that process, I've gotten feedback from her and also from, from the mother of Addison's first child. In a lot of ways, those are, and obviously his partner now and his kids, that circle, those are the most important people in his life. And that's, that's who matters the most. And if they, there are testimonials about Addison's improved coping skills, improved emotional control, improved communication skills, his growth as a person, as a partner, as a co-parent, and that stuff really matters. And I'm sorry if I can't go into excruciating detail for you about his personal life, but we have a lot at stake. We've taken a pretty big organizational risk in providing him this conditional second chance and taking responsibility, and we would not have tendered him the contract and even given him the chance if we didn't think there was a genuine desire on him to make these improvements. We would not have let him come to spring training if he hadn't demonstrated progress and showed his work, the work that he'd done at that time. And we would not have brought him back to the Major League uniform and put him in front of our fans if he had not, in our opinion, been sincere and in the opinion of the people most important to him and in his life, made significant progress. That said, it's not done. He doesn't deserve a pat on the back. We don't deserve anything close to a pat on the back, but this was the decision for a conditional second chance. And if you talk to all the domestic violence experts, at least every single one that we talked about how zero tolerance, so releasing him, zero tolerance, does not work in this situation and is not appropriate in this situation. It's not good as far as his chances of rehabilitation. More importantly, it's not good for the victim. It's not good for the overall issue of domestic violence. They all recommend conditional second chance. So that's what we did. And once you make that decision, then you have to be accountable to follow up. You have to have a lot of oversight along the way. And then if the person given the conditional second chance starts to meet those conditions along the way, then you have to follow through with the opportunity promised. So that was the decision, really. The big decision for us was whether to release him or to give him the conditional second chance. And now it's our responsibility to follow through. And you saw one step of the process last night.
Obviously, Theo, it's a very carefully crafted plan, and you've probably spent a lot more time on this than we know about and thinking it through and putting it into action. I found it interesting. And again, I wasn't at camp forever, but I was there for a few days, and I did not see him taking reps at second base or playing second base when I was there. Was the baseball secondary? Did you think through where he would come back, when he came back? Obviously, those questions arose, and Baez has been so good, and there was a question of whether he move or not. And just from a baseball standpoint, is that almost proof that was a secondary idea, that because you didn't consider that?
No, I mean, in terms of importance, the off-the-field stuff obviously comes first, and baseball is secondary. But, you know, in spring training for him, he wasn't necessarily getting ready for the season because he had nowhere to go play. He was just getting back on the baseball field, and then we had extended spring the first 3 weeks of April, and then his minor league rehab assignment to really get him ready to go play. And it, you know, his natural position is shortstop, so it was easier to sort of leave him here. But I think it's fair to say that, you know, Joe's thinking evolved a little bit on it as we got into the season, and, you know, seeing how well Javi played overall in that shortstop and his importance, and just the way the rest of the parts of the team fit together, that as we got closer and it was time for Addison to go out on his minor league rehab assignment, it seemed, Joe's opinion is the only one that counts here, that he sort of believed that Addison would fit best as a second base, and that's certainly the way that the rest of the organization felt as well, so it was an easy call.
Theo, the other big story yesterday was Crane Kenny making the statement early on in the middle of the night, 12:57 Wednesday morning, about the racist hand gesture that was observed when Doug Glanville was on television for NBC Sports Chicago. The fan was banned from Wrigley Field. Crane's statement was strong. Yours was as strong. And you said yesterday that you gave you shivers and that it was truly disgusting. What made it? How were you so definitive so quickly, I guess? What went into that process of research? And we're getting a lot of feedback. We've been very critical of the fan, of the gesture, and people are saying, hey, it wasn't meant to be a racist gesture. It's part of some silly circle game, all these things. But it seemed like you guys came to a conclusion rather quickly and acted swiftly and boldly.
Yeah, I mean, my opinion was just formed by talking to Crane. You know, I think I was made aware by him after the game of what happened. I went back and looked at the video. I know what that symbol can mean and how its association with hate and white power. And that's what gave me shivers seeing that, you know, at Wrigley Field behind Doug Glanville, who's an amazing person. And then, but obviously there's, you know, there has to be a process. There has to be a due process, and Crane and the business side were handling that while we dealt with everything on, you know, all the four roster moves we made yesterday. And the following morning, yesterday, Crane told me that they, you know, in the process of their investigation, looking into, the identity of the person and trying to connect the dots, they had made the determination that, it was not a coincidence that the gesture was what people feared it was, and so the decision had been made to ban him from Wrigley Field. And so that's the extent of my connection with it, is just talking to Crane about it. But obviously that's not a step you take lightly, and Crane conducted an investigation and a strong, swift reaction after something like that happens in your home ballpark.
Theo, I read somewhere recently that you need to go to Joe Maddon and get a contract extension in the works. Have you made a decision not to worry about that until after the season? Is there a possibility that could happen before the season's over? Or is it?
No,
I
addressed that in November. We made the decision that we're going to wait until the end of the year, and that it was appropriate given the import of the season that we had and what we're focused on and all the things we had learned from last year, that collectively as an organization we're focused on 2019.
How does Pedro Strop's injury affect your approach to the back end of the bullpen moving forward, and does it change how aggressive you feel like you might need to be?
I think we've already been in an aggressive mindset, and you know, we recognize this is a year in which we're going to be proactive in the bullpen, and already have been, honestly. If you look back at some of the adjustments that we made, sending some guys down to AAA, bringing guys up from AAA, in the first week of the season, I think that's indicative of the mindset we're going to have going forward the whole year. Sometimes that's going to need help from inside the organization, and the depth guys have done a great job to this point. And there's going to be a point later in the season when I'm sure it needs, you know, help from outside the organization. So that said, you know, look, we're realistic. We think the bullpen is going to be a source of attention for us this year, but cannot take away from what these guys have done. you know, since the first road trip of the season, we have the best bullpen in baseball, but I think a full run, and it's been a huge part of our success. And these guys, some of whom weren't even on the club when we broke, deserve a huge tip of the cap, but that doesn't mean we're going to sit back and expect that kind of performance the rest of the year, because it's the bullpen, and it's always going to be volatile by nature, and no one's ever going to be happy by nature unless you lock down every single game. So we know that we're going to be active going forward, and that's just part of it. And Strope's injury only underscores that.
I think Ben Zobrist turns 38 at the end of the month. He's on an indefinite leave. Is there a chance we don't see him back? Are you anticipating, or how long is an indefinite leave, Theo?
Yeah, that's, you know, this is just one situation where we can't get ahead of the story. He requested a leave for an important personal matter, family matter, and we granted it. We think the world of him, and he's away from the team, so our thoughts are with him. And, you know, we'll update as he updates at the appropriate time, but we're not going to speculate about duration or provide any more detail. Sort of one of those stories, just have to accept at face value and move forward. We're thinking about him.
You told us on opening day that a month into the season, when we asked you, where do you want the Cubs to be? You said first place. And sure enough, 31 games into the season, the Cubs were in first place after a shaky start. What do you think was the overall reason for the turnaround, Theo, and how satisfied have you been with what's happened to this point?
Really, really stable starting pitching for the most part has been huge, and you know, you could just as easily point to the bullpen and point to the performance I talked about earlier, but also starting pitching because it sets the tone for every game, and then it also makes the bullpen's job easier when you're getting strong starting pitching that's going deep into games, and it allows for better matchups in the bullpen and to not wear those guys out quite as much. And if you think back to where starting pitching was the first half of last year, we dug ourselves a huge hole by having to lean too heavily on the bullpen. So that consistent starting pitching has been huge, and then I think, you know, it's already overlooked just where, you know, the improvement in our offense overall. If you look back to where we were the second half of last year, that was obviously unacceptable, and you know, there was appropriate calls for change and improvement, and we knew at some point that a lot of the improvement had to be internal and structural, and that we knew our guys were capable of better, and that we weren't necessarily in a situation that we could go out and add a bunch of big name hitters, and so there's a lot of attention paid to trying to get more out of our guys and face some of our, you know, our core position players. And those guys as a group have really responded. So, you know, that's a huge, if you look at our performance where we were the second half of last year, what we've done thus far, that is a significant improvement, and really appreciate all the hard work from our players first and foremost, and the staff around them that went into helping with that offensive turnaround. Again, not that 1 month is a whole season's worth of performance. It's not. We know there's going to be ups and downs, but that's a huge factor in the turnaround as well.
Theo, thanks a ton. Really appreciate your time.
Thanks,
and your
Theo.
Candor.
Appreciate it, guys. Take care.
That's Theo Epstein, the Cubs president of baseball operations.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.